If you're looking for real estate help, you've come to the right place. The official real estate agents of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Tune in for the next hour with my buddy Andrew Duncan on the Duncan Duo Real Estate Show.
Happy Sunday, Tampa Bay. Welcome to another edition of the Duncan Duo Real Estate Show. I'm Robert Johnson, president of the Duncan Duo, here with Mike Corrigan from Cross Country Mortgage. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great. Good morning.
Good morning. How was your week? I feel like you had a busy week. I saw you traveled a couple places, which is awesome that you're getting back to normal and getting out there, but it looked awesome.
Yeah, it was great. I was able to head out to Arlington, Texas to see the first game of the World Series with our Tampa Bay Rays and root them on. Unfortunately, game one wasn't the result that we wanted, but it was certainly great to go out there and represent Tampa Bay and cheer on the Rays. It's a super exciting time in Tampa Bay right now after the Lightning winning the Cup, and now we're in the World Series, and it's absolutely, it's fun. It's incredible.
That's awesome. I feel, so watching from the TV side, as most of us are doing, what I could see on the TV side, you could tell there was people there, but you could really only see the cardboard people still. Yeah. So how is that set up when you're there? I mean, where are the people sitting? I'm assuming you guys are up high, like away from the field.
Yeah, so the way the rules were set is you're in pods of four people. So they put four people together and they scattered throughout the stadium. So some are lower. They're just doing a really good job with the camera angles so that it doesn't make it look like it's an empty stadium that's in there. And I think they went to about a 20% capacity. So you would be spread out in seats of, you know, in groups of four throughout the stadium. And I think they had a total of 12,000 people or so. And they've done a really good job. You have to wear your mask, social distancing, and all of that good stuff. But it certainly does, you know, allow for some excitement and some noise there. So it was exciting.
Yeah, that's awesome. Did they pump in the noise, or was it just you guys that were cheering?
No, they didn't pump in the noise. There was no, or at least that I could hear from that is there. And so in game one, the game I was at was technically a Dodgers home game, even though it's in Arlington, Texas. And so they do a great job in the stadium of making it, they do their best to make it look like it was Dodger Stadium for game one. So they played the Dodger type music that they had. They had, when the Dodgers did something good, they had more, you know, home run noise and sounds and horns that they would do as if it was in Dodger Stadium. And then they'll do the same for the Rays when it's the Rays home team.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it was neat. It was a good experience, and it's just great to root on the Tampa Bay Rays. So hopefully turns out to be a great finish.
Yeah, I noticed when the Lightning were playing, and you know, we're the official real estate agents of the Tampa Bay Lightning. I did notice that when they were having their home games, it was, you know, the Tampa Bay ads were the ones that you saw on the billboards. You know, I actually saw ours one time up there, but so it was interesting that they tried to make it like a home, you know, a home field advantage or home ice advantage, same thing with the race. So that's awesome. It's awesome that you got to go and give us the heads up. I was curious to talk to you about it because the closest people that I could see on my end were, it looked like people were like eating at a little restaurant, like right down there.
So. Yeah. They have people scattered all throughout. They made the rule that there's nobody within 20 feet of the players or of the field. So some of the first rows were all roped off and everything else, so you couldn't get close or anything like that, you know, before or after the game and whatnot. But yeah, it was a great experience.
That's awesome. So I mean, here in the in Tampa Bay and in real estate world, and I'm sure that hopefully you weren't working too hard while you were out there, but I know that their housing market, as with everywhere, has been crazy as well. They're a little bit, you know, in Texas, they're a little bit opposite of us in that what I've heard is going on in Texas is it's mostly a lot of people relocating there from California. And what I've heard, you know, about our area and what we see play out is most people that are moving to Florida are moving from the Northeast. So it's almost like two different scenarios are playing out, but kind of the same result. Texas is growing like crazy. I mean, Arlington's practically just, it was once just this little suburb of Dallas. So it's crazy that it's gotten so big out there. But what we're seeing down here is still, I mean, record amount of people moving down. I feel like it is different, at least locally, because It was where years ago you would see people move down. A lot of local people that were moving here were moving from the Midwest. So you'd see a lot of, you know, Ohio and Indiana and, you know, like Andrew's from Indiana. So you saw on our coast of Florida, it was a lot of Midwesterners moving down. You're from Ohio, right? I mean,
I'm from Cleveland, right? Yeah.
So, and now what we're seeing, at least the trends that I'm seeing, and then what the reporting is playing out, is it's a lot of people, even on our coast, are moving down from, you know, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Massachusetts. I mean, really the entire New England area. And then some people from New York are actually moving to other areas of New England too. But our real estate market is still really crazy here. You know, the numbers just came out from the National Association of Realtors, and the REMAX housing report actually came out for the month of September, and REMAX reported that closings rose 21.1% nationally from a year ago on average. And nationally, the homes sold for in a mere 39 days. So homes have sold really, really quickly. And I will tell you that locally, it's even more than that and quicker than that. And I know that that we kind of talk about that often here, but this is the time of year where normally, especially in election year, you know, our numbers, if none of this craziness happened, and of course we can't roll back the clock, we can't say for certain, but normally around election time, we kind of see a real big slowdown in the housing market, and that kind of happens just because people, they get on the fence about making really big decisions, and a lot of people decide just to hold tight and, oh, let's wait to see after the election and blah, blah, blah. But this year, we're definitely not seeing that at all. I mean, inventory in September was down nationally 31.9% compared to September 2019. And inventory is actually, the record low for all of inventory was actually in August. So we're even lower than that now in September. And so far, 6 months of 2020 rank among the top 10 lowest inventory months in history. And it's not lowest inventory just because, you know, people aren't out there doing anything in real estate. It's low inventory because a bunch of people put their homes on the market and they all sold really quickly. And you know, I would say before, you know, the pandemic, before all this started going on, we were seeing inventory slowly start to creep up. And it wasn't a seller's market by any means, a buyer's market by any means, but it had just started to trickle up from some really historic lows. So now we're about half what it was before the pandemic started. So it's so low. And, you know, I know that, you know, I'm sure that you guys are still super busy over there, and are refinances still going, purchases still going? I mean, are you still seeing that?
Yeah, I mean, everything.
That?
Yeah, it's still record levels that are coming in. And, you know, frankly, I was anticipating maybe a little bit of a slowdown as we got into the season, as we got closer to the election, as we got past the summer and everything else. And sort of to my surprise, nothing has slowed down. It just keeps going. I think it would be even more robust if there was more inventory. Like you said, it's at absolute record lows. I keep, you know, we talk to people that we pre-approve, and then, you know, we're updating pre-approval letters and things for them because they've been on their fourth or fifth house and they just lose out, and there's multiple offer situations and going in there. And, you know, so it's really, really important that if you are a buyer out there, one, to have a really good solid pre-approval, that is in there. And you got to be willing and ready, and you can probably speak better than I can to this, Robert, but when you do find the house that is for you, that you're quick and you're on it, and it's not a sales tactic to pressure you into making a move right away, but you got to be ready to go and ready to jump and have all your ducks in a row so that when you do find the one that you can actually get it, because they are just flying off the market.
Well, and that's really, really true. I mean, I don't work with a ton of buyers. I work with personal friends that are buyers. I really focus on, you know, running the team with Andrew, managing the agents. I work with sellers, and I'll work with buyers who are friends and family. And, you know, I had some friends contact me, and I've known them for a long time, and they found a house that they wanted in their neighborhood, just came on the market, and they've been looking in their neighborhood, in their school district. They were really kind of specific on what they wanted. and it came on the market, and they said, hey, can we see this? And they contacted me on a Thursday, and they said, hey, can we see this over the next couple of days? And I said, well, are you available today? Well, no, we're not available today. Can we go on Monday? That's when our schedule line up. And I said, well, no, it'll probably be gone, so we need to go, you know, right away. And when they saw it, they liked it, they wanted to move forward, and they said, well, what should we offer? And I said, well, here's your choice. You could miss out on the house. Really, is it in line with the comps? Yeah, I think it's kind of on the high end of the comps, but it's still in line. And you know, 6 months ago, if you would have talked to me and we would be looking at this house, I'd say, yeah, I think we should come in, you know, 15,000 or so under asking, because it's more, you know, it's more in line with the comps. But here's your options. You know, we can basically come in 5,000 below asking if you want. I'm not telling you to do that. I think if you want it, you just need to go for it. And we just need to be really aggressive. And I don't know if missing out the house is worth $5,000 to you over the course of, you know, 20 or 30 years. I don't know. That's you guys' decision. And we ended up going in full price, getting the house. And of course, there were some inspection issues that we had to work out because we did the inspection. But I mean, that's the kind of thing you have to do. I mean, if you want a house, you have to decide, well, is this worth it to just be aggressive if it's in line with everything? Or do we want to miss out on it over, you know, a couple bucks? And interest rates are so low. I mean, that over the course of the loan every month is not that much money to miss out on the house that you really want. So I do think it's important that you jump on it. You get really, really aggressive. You go in really at the top of your game. And sometimes you can even do all that and still miss out on the house. So it just depends. I think that if you have an agent who can really give you some good advice, I think follow their advice, be really, really aggressive, and get in there and don't hold back. And I think that that's what it takes right now. And, you know, it's really, really, really important that you don't hesitate. I think also holding off and, you know, waiting a couple of days to see the property, I think that can also be a detriment to you. I think that you need to jump on it right away, and you need to be really, really aggressive. And, you know, if you want some more tips on how to jump on these properties, we'll be back after this quick break, where we'll go over another article that talks about some of those tips right here on the Duncan Duo Real Estate.
Tampa Bay, if you want to know what's going on in the real estate market, tune in right here on Sundays at 10 a.m. on 970 WFLA for the Duncan Duo Real Estate Show.
And we're back here on the Duncan Duo Real Estate Show. I'm Robert Johnson, president of the Duncan Duo, here with Mike Corgan from Cross Country Mortgage. And before the break, we were talking about things that your buyers can do, or if you're a buyer, what you can do to win out on a multiple offer situation on a property, and why you need to go in really, really aggressively right now. And, you know, I would say that the most important thing is, like I said before the break, just deciding how much you want to miss out on a property. Because I hate to be negative, but, you know, you going in lower than the property is worth, or you know, even in line with some of the comps, it can cause you to miss out on a property. And I always tell buyers that, you know, you're going to be protected by a couple things in the contract. You know, you're going to be protected by the inspection, and then you're going to be protected by the appraisal. So, you know, the appraisal is ordered and the appraisal is done on the property. And, you know, like Mike, you guys don't have any control as a lender of the property and what it's going to appraise for. So that's a protection for the buyer, correct?
Yeah, it is protection for the buyer. There's appraisal independence. When you go ahead and order an appraisal, we don't even talk to the appraisers anymore. It's done through an appraisal management company, through a third party, and that's part of the home value code of conduct to make sure you are truly getting an independent value of the property, and an assessment of the property based on not an influence or a relationship that the appraiser may have with a lender or a real estate agent, buyer or seller side, either way, but truly get an independent analysis. And so that protects you as a buyer that goes in there. And so, you know, your agent will write an appraisal contingency in there and whatnot. And so you're going to get a true fair market value of the property based on the data rather than based on, you know, any sort of other outside influence.
Yeah, and I think that that's really important, because I think if it comes in low, I mean, it gives you as a buyer a chance to breathe and reassess and decide, okay, well, how do I want to address? Do I want to, you know, pay the difference? Do I want to renegotiate with the seller? And depending on the price that the appraisal comes in, it gives everybody in the process a chance to kind of re-examine without the pressure of missing out on the property because you're, you know, you're under contract for the property already. So, you know, I think that one of the main things that you can do, and I know that Andrew always discusses this, is writing a letter, you know, to the seller when you present your offer. And really figuring out whether, you know, whether you're a single person or whether you're, you know, a retired person or somebody with a family, but figuring out if that seller maybe, you know, went through the same stage in life that you're going through, is currently in the same stage of life, and just kind of trying to bond with them through a letter, you know, that you write and that can be presented with your offer. Because I think that a lot of times that can speak to the seller much more than just numbers on a paper. And I've had many sellers over the years that ended up, you know, picking an offer that was not the highest one based on, you know, a letter that they wrote.
Yeah. I mean, you see that, you know, when people are selling their house, lots of times they've lived there for a long period of time or whatever, but they have an emotional tie to their home. Maybe they raised their family there, but it, you know, they have an emotional attachment to that. And so while they're selling it, they want to see their home being taken care of. They want to see, you know, maybe a new family that goes in there or whatnot. So if you can find that common bond to be able to do so, you know, when I bought my last house, we wrote a letter, and the gentleman who was selling it was an immigrant from Ireland and had been here for, you know, decades upon decades. But my daughter at the time was an Irish dance, you know, student. She did Irish dancing. It was a big thing. And so we made that as part of our letter so that we could make that connection that was in there. And, you know, at the end of the day, he really appreciated that. And we saw him at the closing. We crossed paths at the title company. He even mentioned that letter and said something, you know, best wishes to the daughter. So find that connection can really help you. So they know a little bit more about you other than just what your offer is on paper.
Yeah. And I think you can go even a step farther than that. I mean, some people have gone kind of, you know, a step farther and even done a little video to the person,
yes,
introducing them and their family. And that's almost like a live letter. And I think that something like that, where, you know, you're really tugging on the emotional heartstrings of the person. I think that if you can't afford to go up in price or you're hesitant to go up in price, I don't think there's anything better than something like that. I mean, I had a seller this week. I know that he went with a multiple offer on his house with the buyer that he kind of bonded with at the showing. And I know that we could have gotten more if we did a highest and best, but he didn't want to. He wanted to go with this offer. And he said, you know, I just really liked this buyer. He really, really liked the house the same as I did. And that's the offer he ended up going with. And I was once again surprised that he probably could have got another $10,000. And he ended up just going with this buyer that he felt was emotionally attached to the property that he really likes. So, you know, something like that is definitely, definitely something that can win out on a multiple offer, even just an aggressive offer situation. And I think that that's super important with the market the way it is right now. So, Mike, how do the buyers get in touch with you? How do people get in touch with you if they need a loan? I don't think we've given out your contact info yet.
Yeah, absolutely. You can always reach me for any questions or help that you may need or to talk through any offers or whatnot. You can reach me at 813-377-2743. Again, it's 813-377-2743, or you can go online to crosscountrytampa.com, all one word, crosscountrytampa.com.
Awesome. And you can reach out to us if you want help with a multiple offer situation or you want to start your house hunt or list your home. Give us a call at our office, 813-359-8990. Again, 813-359-8990. Or you can reach us out on any of our socials, Duncan Duo Team. That's where we are on there. Check us out. We'll be back right after this quick.
Now we're back with the official real estate agents of the Tampa Bay Lightning and the best realtors in Tampa Bay, Andrew Duncan on the Duncan Duo Real Estate Show.
And we're back here on the Duncan Duo Real Estate Show. I'm Robert Johnson, president of the Duncan Duo, here with Mike Corrigan from Cross Country Mortgage. And, you know, we were talking about last segment, last, you know, half of the show about, you know, that the mortgage industry is still really busy, especially with purchases. And and also refinances, which I know we've talked about a lot on the show. But some of the stuff that we, you know, that we don't cover is a lot of people out there who may have been in a fine financial situation when they purchased their home. They went through the purchase process, but maybe along the lines that they've gotten, a bump on their credit. And really, it's how you go about refinancing and taking advantage of these great rates and this higher affordability, even though you might be somebody with a blip on your credit or bad credit, where this actually could really benefit you because you would have extra money and extra income probably coming in every month. And really, it could put you in a better financial situation on the other side if you could get through the mortgage refinance process. So, Mike, what are the ins and outs of that? If somebody's coming to you and they don't have stellar credit, I mean, where do they begin? Where do they start?
Yeah, and we get this all the time where people come to us, and there was an article about it this week, and the first one is shop different lenders. You know, a lot of especially the big banks are only going to take stellar credit, only going to take the people that fit directly into the box and are very cookie cutter and whatnot. And a lot of other mortgage companies are doing that now as well because volumes are so high. And so they don't want to take any additional what they deem as risk because the credit has a blip and whatnot. So certainly just because somebody has told you no in the past, that just doesn't necessarily mean it's no forever. It's just no for them and it's no right now for them. But shop around to different lenders that can be there. So, you know, while a conventional loan is going to require you to have a minimum 620 score, if you do fall below that, there are other options out there. FHA, which is backed by the Federal Housing Authority and HUD, will often allow you, it does allow you to go below, doesn't have a credit score requirement, or allows you to go below that 620. And you can still get a fantastic rate. It's a little bit more lenient in the credit qualifying that you go through, allows for a little bit more blips that is on there and is a little bit more willing to take that additional risk to be on there. And like I said, the great news is the rates are still great on that. That's going to be there. So that's one option, is to look at an FHA or a government loan that's going to be there. Other things too is, even if it's a little bit, your score's a little bit lower and you have some additional risk, is looking to eliminate, private mortgage insurance, even if you're near that 620 amount, but you have more than 20% equity in the home, is still a reason to refinance. A lot of people have paid high mortgage insurance, are paying $200-$300 a month because they got it 4 or 5 years ago when mortgage insurance was more expensive. And even keeping the rate roughly the same, just by eliminating that, is going to save you a ton of money.
And we've talked about this before, but years ago, I mean, mortgage insurance was so much more expensive. And,
yes.
Would that fall under like a total refinance, or would that just be an appraisal with their current lender, or how does that work?
Yeah. So if you are below the, how private mortgage insurance works is, once you get below the 80% mark based on when you bought the home and the purchase price of when you bought the home, if you naturally get there by paying your mortgage every single month and it gets there, by law, it has to come off. You can request to come off once you reach 80%, they have to remove it after 78%. So they allow an additional 2% if you don't request it. If you're doing it because you think that your property is, and that's what this most people happens, is the value of their home's gone up. And so they haven't paid it down necessarily below 80%, but the value of their home has gone up. And so you want to do that. Your lender is going to require you to get an appraisal done. They're going to pick the appraisal management company that can go through that, and you can request it that way. And you can do that and ask to do it, there. But that's just to remove the mortgage insurance. So if you wanted to also take advantage of a lower interest rate, because you bought the house a while ago or whatnot, then you would need to go through a full refinance to be able to do so. The other thing we see a lot of people doing right now is doing a refinance to take some cash out. And I know we've talked about this before, Robert, and it goes back, and this isn't, if you're taking cash out for the right reasons, it can make a whole lot of sense. You're limited to 80% loan to value, so you can only borrow 80% of what your home is worth in the cash out. So it's not as risky of loans as it was back in the financial crisis. But a lot of people are looking at this market and saying, hey, I can't move now. There's no inventory and everything else, but I want a new kitchen, or I want to redo the baths, or I need money for college savings, or other things. And with money being so cheap because interest rates are so low, it is a great way to tap into some of that equity in your home, take the benefit of the rising prices without having to move.
Right. And that, I mean, that's really like the same process as a normal refinance. It's just like a different, I mean, obviously lenders have different requirements, but I mean, the process is still normally similar.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's really the exact same that you're going to go through. We're going to have an appraisal done in your house. And again, it's going to be an independent appraisal like we talked about in our first segment of getting the fair market value of the home today. And then you can borrow up to 80% of the house's value that you can use that. So, you know, we have a lot of people coming to us right now because they're, you know, I mean, we're seeing rates in the twos and in the threes. And so they're able to get, you know, the $25,000 out to redo the kitchen or whatever it may be, is that is the least expensive way to do it, rather than going out and getting even a home equity line of credit that's going to be a variable interest rate or a personal loan or anything else. The interest rates are so low and the money is so cheap that that's a great way to tap in and truly, you know, update your house.
Mm-hmm.
Another way that people are, you know, with less than stellar credit and whatnot is if you are a veteran, and we love our veterans, and I know you guys do as well at the Duncan Duo, and be able to get there is a VA loan, a Veterans Administration loan, are the best loans that are out there in the marketplace today. I've been saying that for years. And, you know, if you served our country and are eligible for a VA loan, you certainly deserve it. And we appreciate your service and all that you have done. And the VA also allows for less than perfect credit, has more flexibility in its lending guidelines and the way it goes out. So if you are a veteran out there, and we have so many in the Tampa Bay area and so many that are moving here, we're doing VA loans all the time of people relocating here, whether it's going to MacDill or elsewhere, to be able to help, that's a great option for you. So if you are a veteran, be sure you ask your lender about doing a VA loan.
Well, and I will say, you know, we talked about, you know, we're talking about kind of refinances, but I'll say as far as even purchasing a home,
for sure,
you know, people will always say, oh, you know, I don't know that I want to use VA. I mean, I do hear this. I don't know if I want to use VA because I'm, you know, I'm worried the seller won't want to take VA. But I mean, I don't ever have sellers really that are worried about taking VA. I mean, it's really the same requirements as everything else. And a VA is such a great loan. It's a great loan product. I just can't say enough about it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. If you are a veteran, you should ask your lender about a VA loan, and we'd love to be able to help you with that. It really is no more. A lot of people just think it's harder to get one or it's harder to do. It's no more difficult than any other loan nowadays. You know, there's a couple other pieces of paper that you sign, and we got to get a certificate of eligibility
right,
that you qualify for. Most of those things are automated today. And so it's no more difficult of a process than a normal conventional loan. And it does allow you on a purchase for a VA loan to go up to 100% financing
right,
with no monthly mortgage insurance,
yeah,
which is incredible.
And I would say, you know, if you do have bad credit, what you consider bad credit, don't be afraid to reach out and talk to a lender like Mike and come up with a plan. Because I think that even if you don't do it now, I don't think that rates are going to be going up anytime soon. And I think having somebody, a professional, pull your credit, go over it with you, and come up with a plan of what you can do in order to be able to refinance shortly in the future. There's a lot of options out there. And don't feel bad if you feel like you have bad credit, because, I mean, it states right in the article that 30 to 40% of consumers have a FICO score between 300 and 669. And, I mean, that's a lot of consumers. So don't feel like you're kind of out there all by yourself. And all you need, like Mike said, is typically a 620 credit score to be able to do a lot of these programs. And I know sometimes FHA and VA are less. And again, of course, that's going to affect your interest rate on some of those things, how low, you know, your FICO score is. But don't be afraid to reach out to a lender and go over a lot of your options. And Mike's a great person to do that with.
Yeah, we get that all the time. Yeah, we get that all the time. And you know, it's better to know and find out. We get so many times where people think it's a lot worse than it really is. And, you know, if you're looking to buy, even if it's, you know, people ask me all the time, well, you know, I'm looking to buy in the spring. When should I talk to you? And I said, well, let's take an application now and let's get a baseline of where you're at. If you, you know, people say, oh, I got to work on some things for a credit and whatnot. I say, okay, well, let's take a look at it. Let's see where we're at. And we can help you put together a plan. And we have tools and resources to that we can guide you on. Here's the best way to raise your score and get through there. So talk to a professional and see where you're at. It's never too early to find out where you're going, because you may be surprised. It may not be as bad as you think it is. And, you know, a professional mortgage banker is going to, you know, going to guide you and lead you the way on how to get you to a point where you can buy.
Yeah. And like, you can tell them, hey, let's go ahead and why don't you pay down this credit card, or see if you can go ahead and do this over here. And it's going to be able to raise your score. So I think talking to somebody is definitely. And again, I don't think rates are going to be going anywhere anytime soon. So I think you have plenty of time to start on that process if you have, you know, if you have an idea of where you want to go as far as refinancing. So Mike, again, one time, another time, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, please give us a call anytime. We'd love to answer any questions. You can reach us at 813-377-2743, 813-377-2743. If you do get our message, you know, our voicemail, leave a message. We will get back to you the same day. And you can always go online for resources and questions to crosscountrytampa.com. Again, it's crosscountrytampa.com.
Awesome. And we'll be back right after this quick break.
Hey, back with Andrew, hosting the Duncan Duo Real Estate Show on 970 AM WFLA. The real estate expert in Tampa, Andrew Duncan of the Duncan Duo. 10 a.m. on 970 WFLA.
We're back here on the Duncan Duo Real Estate Show. Thanks for joining us this week, like you do every week here on 970 WFLA. The last article I wanted to talk about is something that it bothers me, some of these articles, but the title of the article is Weekly Mortgage Applications Fall 2%, Marking the Fourth Straight Week of Declines. And this followed another article that I saw, you know, that's just like quick bait. It was, oh, home buyer demand is falling and this is the fourth straight week. And I thought, well, my gosh, home buyer demand every year falls this time of year. Right. And especially that we talked about earlier, especially during an election year. I mean, this is the time of the year, no matter an election, not election, but always this time of year, nationally especially. If you look at the numbers compared to 4 weeks ago, it's always less this time of year. And it's becoming fall. It's not the summer busy season in a lot of these other areas that see seasonality. It's just, it's always slower this time of year. And really buried in the article, it said, even though demand is down for the fourth straight week, that it's still 26% higher than 1 year ago. And I thought,
yeah, that's exactly what I was going to mention. So the weekly numbers that come out are so volatile, right? I mean, so many things can affect it. A weather-related event now as we get into the fall and different times of the year somewhere around the country can affect those numbers. So the weekly number is always so very volatile. But yeah, when you look at the year-over-year numbers, they're incredible.
Well, I mean, 26% year over year. I mean, any other month we're looking at, 2% or 5% or, right. I mean, those are huge numbers to be up or be down. And being 26% year over year, I mean, that entire title of the article should be, you know, home buyer demand blows away previous year at 26% higher year over year. And I mean, that's a huge number. So I think even though that, you know, I don't love those clickbait articles, because I think right now real estate is a really, really big shiny spot in our economy. A lot of other recessions, real estate has pulled us out of recessions, except for, you know, the big one that we think about from, you know, 12, 15 years ago now. But, you know, and I think that real estate's going to pull us out of this one, especially if interest rates keep staying low. So I think that any article that you read, whether it's this article or other articles, make sure to dive into the facts, because I think that 26% year over year is huge growth. And, you know, the strong demand is really going all the way to home buyer sentiment, home builder sentiment. I mean, home builder sentiment is up through the roof. You know, rates went up slightly last week, but still mortgage refinances are through the roof. Mortgage mortgage purchase applications are through the roof. I mean, everything about the real estate market is really clicking on all cylinders. I think that if builders could build more homes quicker, they would sell those too, because we're in such a high point in real estate right now with such low inventory that there's really no other way to go except for higher year over year. And it'll be interesting to see what happens next year. We can kind of finally compare, you know, whatever's going on long term with what had gone on the past couple years. Because I think as this stretches out farther and farther, you know, is this the new normal? Is this kind of an uptick? You know, I have family that lives in Canada, my sister-in-law, and you know, they've been in this kind of crazy real estate market for 10, 15 years. So is this something that's going to be long-term for us, or is it going to slow back down? And I think that that's where the trends are definitely going to be interesting to see, because I don't see on our end how inventory could just tick up enough to where we could actually catch up. Even if some people, you know, I hate to say, but even if some people ended up losing their homes, and you know that some people will, but it would have to be so many people. I mean, the inventory would just have to be so high that we would have a lot bigger problems than the housing market at that point.
Yeah, and the data just does not support any sort of negativity that goes in there, and so that's different from the last time. So, it just doesn't support it. The demand is too high. The supply is too low. The interest rates are going to stay low. We can say that confidently. Are they going to bounce around? Of course, but they're not going to skyrocket. You're not going to be seeing interest rates in the fives and in the sixes. You probably won't even see them in the fours. I mean, all the projections from the national agency say they're going to stay in the twos and the threes over the next 12 to 18 months. I don't think anything is going to change as far as interest rates go. They have to remain low, and they're going to, and I think it's going to continue to be a robust market.
Absolutely. And now we're on record of saying that. So,
yes.
So thanks for joining us this week on the Duncan Duo Real Estate Show. We really appreciate you joining us every week, especially this week. And if you want to give us a shout out, give us a call, you can call our office 813-359-8990 to get in touch with us, talk to us about purchasing a home. You know, we can get you in touch with Mike. You can call him directly. You can reach out to us on any of our socials at Duncan Duo Team, or you can go on our website, theduncanduo.com. You can email us from there. We can chat with you from there. It's really easy to get in touch with us. And one more time, Mike, how can they reach you?
You can give me a call at 813-377-2743 or go out to the web at crosscountrytampa.com.
Thanks for joining us this week, and have a great rest of your Sunday, Tampa Bay.